football on Off the Ball.
I mean, how mentally weak are the lads? You know, I was as mentally weak as they come. I couldn't stay tuned in a game for 90 minutes. I'd be singing Journey, Don't Stop Believing and go missing in my head time after time in games.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you are welcome to episode 93 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. A reminder, folks, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your pods. It's all about Champions Festival this weekend, folks. Leopardstown tomorrow and then the Curra on Sunday. How you doing, Johnny?
Very well, JD. Looking forward to a cracking 2 days race and basically the highlight of the year for me in terms of Irish racing.
Let's get down to it, Johnny. The Irish Champions Stakes Group 1, 5:30 on Saturday. The go-in at Leopardstown, soft yielding to soft in places. And we have a cracker in store. So Delacroix is the favourite, won the Eclipse at Sandown, course and distance winner earlier in the season, flopped in the Derby. Does he set the standard for you?
He does, but he's short, JD. You know, he's short. Looking at the price with our sponsors, top price 7-4. We'll have Sam Norris on. I think William Hill is right to take him on at the prices. You know, the possibility of soft ground brings White Birch into it for me. He's really, really solid form. His two runs in 2025 have suggested he's as good as ever. I've gotten good vibes from the camp in recent times. And I don't know about you. I was a small bit disappointed in Delacroix at York. He fell in terms of beating a pacemaker. He couldn't get anywhere near Ombudsman. And the clash that we were hoping for obviously isn't going to happen here, but I'd be against him at the prices, and thankfully we've plenty of each way alternatives in the race as well.
So it is eight runners, your favourite thing in the world, Johnny, eight runner fields for the each way. So White Birch, what? So the ground and the distance, no issue. Third in the Epsom Derby is a 3-year-old, now 5 years of age, won the Tattersalls Gold Cup over the distance of the Curra last year, fourth in that race this year, not been out since then. Does that worry you in any way?
No, not really. There've been sort of ground-related issues with him not running, and he's quite ground versatile. But the key here, JD, is that we have soft ground, or at least even soft ground, and the possibility of more rain, that'll definitely suit him, as it kind of won't suit others as well, which is a key thing. He's been an admirable servant for Connections. He's one of the most likeable horses in training. He's by an unfashionable sire. I love the story, and more to the point, he's bang there on form. He's rated 121, and this could be a messy race. Let's see how Christophe Soumillon negotiates this on Delacroix.
So no Ryan Moore, Christophe Soumillon. Are you a fan of him as a rider?
I am a fan of him as a rider, but I do feel that if you bring jockeys over to the likes of Leopardstown on this big day and to the Curra for big, big race, and things can go wrong. And we've seen John Gosden kind of moaning about a big Ballydoyle battalion in this race and the reason for Ombudsman not coming over. That hasn't really been the case, but the first renewal of this race I saw was the one memorably where Hive Chaparral and Falbrav took each other on. Falbrav had a bit of a nightmare passage under Darrell Holland. Leopardstown is tricky. We have five horses here rated very close to each other, and if they all perform on the day, you're going to have traffic issues because there's not going to be that much room. They're going to be going at a similar pace as the race develops, so it's a big one for Soumillon. I love the fact he's coming over. I love the fact he's riding January. He's a very tricky one in the matron, and it just adds so much razzmatazz, but it could go wrong. And you know, for me, it's a small gamble for Aidan O'Brien. He could use the local jockeys, but you can see why he's doing it.
Anne Mash is now 7, runs in the race, retains ability. You can't knock him as a proven performer over the distance on varying ground. Won the Group 1 Champion Stakes at Ascot last year at 40-1. 2 second places in Group 1 races this year. Has to concede £6 to Delacroix. Is it too much for him?
Not necessarily. No, the weight for age wouldn't worry me at all. He's one of the most consistent horses in training at any bracket. And whilst he's been turned over at odds on in running a lot for in-running players, I wouldn't hold that against him. And his win over Clandagan was achieved in Ascot. That's on soft ground last year. He's really, really solid. It's great right for Chris Hayes to pick. If you're backing him, back him each way. It goes without saying with the eight runners, because he's nearly always in the first two, maybe the first three here. Big, big chance.
What about Johnny Murcia, who is such a gent to give us a great interview last week on the show? He's got Zaran. This horse is what, only 3, didn't race as a 2-year-old. Best performance won winning the Royal Whip Stakes of the Curra over the distance. Do you think it's got an each-way chance, this one?
100%, yeah. He's the dark horse in the race that we're looking at, you know, and he maybe looked at Ascot like he wanted a little bit further. He raced a bit in snatches at the Curra over the mile and two, but it might just be that he's improving, and a horse who keeps finding for pressure, he ends up winning by two lengths the last day, and he wasn't even favourite that day. He's a horse that's you know, we haven't gotten to the bottom of. Maybe a small question mark about ground frame, because he hasn't handled it so far, but he adds massively to the race. He's 111 rated, which won't be good enough, but there's some upside there. We'll not want this to be a tactical race.
Am I out of my mind to think that 125 to 1 with one bookmaker for Mount Kilimanjaro is very generous? Because this horse was second in a group on a Saint-Cloud on heavy ground as a two-year-old, won the D Stakes at Chester over the distance in May, returned last month when sixth at York, probably didn't get the run of the race there. He probably is a pacemaker on Saturday, but we've seen pacemakers do well. Should this horse be 1,000 to 1, or is 125 to 1 too generous? Should be like 40, 50 to 1?
No, he's a three-year-old trained by Aidan O'Brien. And in fairness, the last day when they ran at York in the Great Voltigeur, Stay True, who runs in the Ledger, finished fourth. But Mount Kilimanjaro was a shorter price. That was a very messy race for me. Lamborn split the two of them on the day, and Lamborn obviously reappears at Doncaster. But Mount Kilimanjaro was actually nibbled at in the market on that occasion. And I do feel, as you say, the Sayuni Bred's chance will improve in relation to the ground. And you obviously imagine that he's going to be there to help his stablemate. But this could be an interesting race. We've seen a lot of mad stuff with pacemakers in recent times, and he's rated 108, but he has upside in terms of improving off that mark, particularly if the ground is soft. And if the ground is soft, I don't think he's going to be 125 to 1.
Should Emperor Returns, the Japanese raider, was what, one length third in the race last year. You have Royal Champion in there, a Hot as Hell, who was a good two-year-old. What are you going for, Johnny, in the Irish Champion Stakes?
I tipped Shin Emperor last year. I wouldn't be surprised. And if he did win this year, he was staying on really well last year. We'll like the ground. But I am with White Birch at the prices. I feel he's rock solid each way. And this is a race that is very, very hard to call in terms of tactics. I just feel there's going to be a bit of drama in it, given how close they are together. But it's White Birch and the title-seeking Dylan Brown McMonagall for me.
I'm going for Zairan. I think he's going the right way. And I think Johnny Mercia, if he's comparing him to Sindar, it might be the case that he proves himself as a four-year-old. But I think Zairan each way for me in the Irish Champion Stakes. So the Matron Stakes, the other group one at Leopardstown on Saturday, 4:25 post time, 1 mile for 11 runners, the fillies. Fallen Angel won the 1,000 guineas at the Kerr last year. She finished second in this race then. She's now four. She won a group one at Deauville last time out in France. I think she's come onto herself. I think she's got strong claims. I think she's the one to beat. Do you agree?
It's debatable, yeah, between Fallen Angel and January. This is going to divide punters, JD, because last time Fallen Angel was sent off what now looks a very generous 11 to 1 in Deauville, and January, by contrast, under Christoph Soumillon, was sent off an 8 to 5 favourite, and you were very, very happy for 99.2% of that race, give or take, and you're like, what's this filly going to find? Is she going to finish second again? And ultimately, she went down by heads. But if you watch the way the two of them travel in the race, you're kind of thinking on another day, January will reverse that form. And Aidan O'Brien goes for the cheek pieces, which is a big call to make in a race like this. But you could definitely see why Headgear would suit this horse to keep her mind on the job. She's by Kingman out of I Can Fly. Both handle the slop very well, so the ground won't be a problem on paper. But she has that Kingman trace that we see in some of his progeny of being a little bit tricky the way she carries her head. This is a race I'm actually looking forward to nearly most on the day, to see how Soumillon negotiates this with a tricky horse. Is he going to be very, very late? Are we going to be 100 yards out still on the bridle as he tries to beat Fallen Angel? And you might think I'm daft, JD, but I'm back in January each way as well, because she's definitely a horse who could throw it in a little bit, but she should be in the first three, and a small loss if she's played. So Senny coming back as well has been a brilliant stick for Joe Murphy, and won't mind the ground, whatever it is.
Are you okay with crossbar horses like January that keep on threatening to win and don't?
To an extent, but it's kind of price dependent, and you know, after a while you have to be wary of that. I'd much prefer being involved in a horse like that than one that's unreliable, and January has an awful lot of ability. She's not the type that Aidan O'Brien will criticise. He doesn't criticise his horses, but there's definitely an element of trickiness in her. And for me, the fact that Soumillon rides again, I think this is going to develop differently to Deauville. Like, he'd a long time at Deauville to kind of looking at the lead, when this is in Leopardstown you come into the straight and the race then sort of develops pretty quickly. He's going to have her smothered, and will he meet traffic problems? Who knows? But I do feel it'll be different to Deauville. I am a forgiving type in general, JD. In life in general.
What about anything each way? I didn't really see anything each way, to be honest. Like, Vera's Secret is a strange horse. I think that she's an improver. Like, she won two group three races, and she does like the course. She's won over the course and distance, but probably maybe a frame horse than a winner. At Scylla, isn't there? Won a group three at the Curragh, but is disappointed recently. I just didn't see anything. I mean, Sir Sene, look, What, third place in the Irish 1000, and then she won that Coronation Stakes at Ascot. Might want faster ground, but she has proven it in the form book. But I think Fallen Angel is, for me, the one that they have to beat. Sometimes it's obvious, and I think 2-1 is an obvious choice for me. Was there anything each way you liked in it?
You're putting up one at a massive price in the Champion. I mentioned Vera Secret. She's 3 from 3 her last visit to Leopardstown. Johnny Feen very happy with her. I feel she should come up short. This, don't laugh at me now, but Duckadilly, fifth start. She's about 100-1, right?
80s, 100s, yeah.
80s, 100. So I spoke to Dan McLaughlin, young trainer. He said after Leopardstown, in hindsight, he wasn't really happy with her on the day. She was just, there were a few little things. And he said, I have her in better shape at Killarney. That was much more like it. The bit of ease in the ground will be interesting for her, but she'll be coming with a bit of a late rattle as well. She could run into the frame. She has upside.
Each way double, Duckadilly and Mount Kilimanjaro to buy Leopardstown Racecourse, Johnny,
yes,
afterwards.
Yes.
Doncaster, St. Ledger on Saturday, 3:40 post time, 7 runners, 1 mile, 6.5 furlongs. Good in places, actually. Good to soft, good in places now is the ground description drying out over there. This is about 2, maybe 3 Aidan O'Brien horses. You've got a Derby winner in there, a dual Derby winner in Lambourne, but things did not go to plan at York. And I don't know if he's peaked already this season, because Scandinavia seems to be coming and improving all the time. It was only 5th behind Carmers or Royal Ascot. Then the penny dropped at Newmarket before he won the 2 mile Goodwood Cup, a Group 1 beat in Illinois. He is progressive. Does he have a bigger future than Lambourne Scandinavia?
Yeah, that's the question, I suppose. He's a future that's going to involve staying races. With Lambourne, maybe 1.5 miles will be his trip, although he's looked to me like 1.6 miles would be more his thing. At York, I was disappointed in him last time. We mentioned that race with the 3 horses, Lambourne, Mount Kilimanjaro, Stay True, all among the also-rans. But I give him the benefit of the doubt, because he's a very straightforward horse to ride. This will be a different test over 1.6 miles, and the ground isn't going to be as fast, anywhere near as fast as it was at York. And I give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, he's a dual Derby winner who's very good at Epsom. And for me, the price difference between him and Scandinavia, I think, is a little bit strange. Like, Scandinavia is progressing nicely, but whether he deserves to be so much shorter than Lambourne, not that it's down to the two of them. The horse I mentioned, Stay True, his son of Galileo, who's done so well in this race, he's definitely not without a chance. But at the prices I'm with Lambourne, it's a mad weekend as well, JD. You've all these jockeys being used by Aidan O'Brien, from Ronan Whelan, Sean Levy, to Christoph Soumillon, and maybe Sean Levy's on the right one here. I feel this trip will suit Lambert.
Miguel Barcelona, that's an interesting jockey booking for Aidan O'Brien, a jockey that won the Derby at 19 on Port Moi. I was watching it last night again. It was back in 2011 when he raised his whip in the air as he was crossing the line in the Derby. It was the kind of thing I always laugh at when I watch it back. He won on Port Moi.
Yeah, and he'll bring a little bit of kind of panache as well to the whole thing. And how Stay Tuned will be ridden is interesting. He definitely needs to settle better than the last day. I know it was early in his development after the Lingfield trial, but he's an intriguing runner. I mean, I think we watched this race from the studio before Football Saturday last year, and it was a brilliant renewal, won by Jan Brugel, dominated by Aidan O'Brien. And you can see Mikel Barcelona could be on the scene here as well.
What about Carmers, Paddy Toomey? Good horse, real stayer, only 4 runs, won the Queen's Vase at Ascot over the distance at the Royal Meeting, then 2nd in the Great Voltigeur over 12 furlongs with Lambourne in behind. He can't be discounted.
Can't be discounted, was entering the Ledger on Sunday, gone for this instead, which might, I think, be the right option. I've said it a few times, how this horse went off 10-1 on debut is one of the greatest mysteries ever, really, in a Ballinrobe. Maiden him off to Ballinrobe after we record this. He's done nothing but progress. He's a cracking attitude. It's a massive weekend for Wooden Bassett, his sire, and stable in great form as well. Definite chance.
What are you going for in the English St. Ledger?
I'm going with Lambourne. Not a race I'll be getting too heavily betting on, I think.
Okay, so on Sunday, the Curragh, we have the Irish St. Ledger. Sad news during the week, Vinnie Rowe died long in retirement. He passed away 4 St. Ledgers in a row. That was a record in the early noughties, Johnny. Remember Vinnie Rowe?
Remember him well. He was one of the, I suppose, Dermot Well had some very good stayers in Dermot going over to win the Melbourne Cup. And then Vinnie Rowe, when I was getting into racing, he was an absolute proverbial standing dish in the Irish Ledger, which isn't a classic, obviously. You can come back and win again, and it is for older horses. But the sort of horse Dermot Well really thrived with, stayer with speed, as he would say. And cracking racehorse. And I'll always think of Pat Smullen, I suppose, and I think of the likes of him.
So we have Al Riffa in this Irish St. Ledger. Very good, versatile horse, has won the National Stakes as a 2-year-old at the Curragh over 7. Then chased home City at Troy in the Eclipse last year. Tuned up for this with a course and distance win in the Curragh Cup. he has that touch of class. That's what I like about this horse.
Very much so, JD. I think he is that steroid speed to win a race like this. The one concern would be, is he quite as effective on easy ground? And I still think it's kind of early days with that. The run behind Blue Stocking last year in the Ark might suggest there was a problem there. I thought that was a bit of a funny race. So on his run behind Saucy was on good to soft in Longchamp earlier in the year. That was over a mile and two, which isn't really far enough for him. And he still ran a good race. So I'm not sure if he's that reliant on quickish ground. But he's effective on it. His run last time when he smashed Shackleton for me was a real revelation, because Wooden Bassett has potentially a winner in the 5 furlong Group 1 sprint on Sunday, but he's getting stairs as well. And this horse is a stair with speed. I actually feel he'll have a bit too much class for these all going well. And he could be a big one for Dylan Brown McMonagall, but he's unexposed over the mile and six. And I'd be definitely in the El Riffa camp.
Illinois was narrowly beaten in the English St. Ledger Doncaster last year by Jan Brugel. Feels like he's been around a while, but he's only four. He's been running over further, but it might be that this is his distance. What are you a fan of Illinois?
To be honest, I've been a bit disappointed in JD. I was of the opinion that he was well. I thought he was a great bet to beat Scandinavia at Goodwood, and just had no excuses. I know he was giving weight away, but Ryan Moore picked him, and in against Trawlerman, there was no shame in that. I didn't feel he got the mile and the 2.5 at Ascot. I felt he should have been beaten Scandinavia. Maybe by this time, Scandinavia will have added the Ledger to his list of honours this year. But for me, he's shown a little bit of. A little bit of limitation, and it's intriguing. Another horse that Aidan O'Brien has put cheek pieces on, which has just been revealed this morning in a Group 1, which is a slight indication that he might be thinking about a bit under pressure.
Ami Luck, Group 2 winner over 12 furlongs at Royal Ascot in June, is an unbeaten 3-year-old, gets the weight allowance. Is he classy enough, and will he stay?
Yeah, unbeaten, Son of Postbone. Will he stay is a bit of a question mark. He beat Zaran, which probably in hindsight looks a very good very good piece of form at Royal Ascot. For me, he looks like he will appreciate the mile and two, but this is a deeper race. Like, Zaran was definitely progressing, but I feel he probably hadn't reached his ceiling at Royal Ascot. But I know a few very good judges fancy this horse. I feel he will stay. I'm just not... You still have to have a bit of class to win this, and I feel that the finishing kick of Al Riffa that we saw the last day, he won't be able to deal with that.
So when we hold up the cards, it's like one of those game shows. You hold up the cards and with the marker, and if we did have the imaginary cards here, Johnny, now, I think we'd be both holding up Al Riffa.
Yes, and I as I say, a stayer with speed, and if he does win this well, it'll be intriguing to see where they go with him long term, but he's a horse with lots and lots of class, and it wasn't that long ago he was a brilliant 2-year-old at the Curragh, but for a son of Wooden Bassett, he stays very well.
This is the Irish St. Ledger on Sunday at the Curragh. So the Moyglair Stud Stakes, the Group 1 for fillies over 7 furlongs, the 2-year-old race is at 2:40 on Sunday at the Curragh. Like, if you look at Venetian Sun, right, Carl Burke trains in England, coming over to Ireland with this one. She's progressed from winning the Group 3 at Royal Ascot to Group 2 at Newmarket. Then she won at Deauville the Group 1 pre-Morney. And she beat Gestad, who is the odds-on favourite for the National Stakes. Surely, by beating Gestad, she is the one to be on here, no?
You'd sort of think that. I just feel this will be different. That was a bit of a turn of foot type race at Deauville when Gestad is obviously beaten by the width of a betting slip. But you would think, like, Gestad looks a very, very promising horse, goes to the National Stakes. This is just different for me, JD. It's yielding ground at the moment. And even if it's sort of yielding ground 7 furlongs at the Curragh, I would be all over composing to beat her here. 13-8 top price William Hill would be my charity bet as well for the weekend. I just... there's something about this horse. I tip Skydance to beat her at Leopardstown. Skydance reopposes here. And Skydance ran a good race. She absolutely hammered her. And the manner in which she races, she goes out to the front. Doesn't seem to even do a great deal when she's there, according to Wayne Norden last time. But she's really straightforward. Just go, put her in a prominent position. If she's up beside Beautifier Precise, that's fine. But the power that she has, that extra, you know, you're going an extra 16% here over the 6 furlongs the last day that the Carl Burke Philly won over on probably softer ground on home territory for composing, who loves this track, and I'd be all over her at the prices.
What about as an each way option here? Because, well, I suppose it's not really, because there's only 7 runners, but Beautify won her second race at the Curragh over 6, the early stud stakes, a Group 2, beating Lady Iman. So over 7, I think the feeling was from the stable, Aidan O'Brien's, that the horse had improved for 7. Now, Christoph Soumillon rides composing, who you fancy strongly, but would you rule out Beautify?
Absolutely not. Another filly by Wooden Bassett, who has actually kind of a similar-ish profile to my selection, and she smashed Lady Imam the last day, and Skydance, form that ties in with her stablemate. She was very good on that occasion. I remember thinking she had a decent chance that day, and it was again just having too much power for Lady Imam over the sixth furlong in that race. The betting will be intriguing here. This race can throw up really funny ones. I tipped Lake Victorian at last year, who was friendless in the betting and ended up winning well. And sometimes, like, Aidan O'Brien might know what's going to happen on the day in terms of what his best two-year-olds are, but definitely not out of it. Beautifying, intriguing to see how the market goes.
Okay, that's the Moyglare Stud Stakes on Sunday, the Curra. The other one then, the National Stakes, the, I suppose, the two-year-old race for the Colts at 350 is a 7-furlong contest as well at Group 1. I was looking through this, and you're probably looking at Gestad, like an impressive winner of the Coventry Stakes over 6 furlongs. Royal Ascot then pipped at Deauville after a break. Aidan O'Brien feels it gets 7 furlongs. A lot of market confidence, which you can't ignore.
No, and another sign of the strength of Wooden Bassett having two runners in this Gestad is by Star Spangled Banner, who Aidan wouldn't have had that many of. I was mightily impressed with him at Royal Ascot. He beat True Love first time out. Form that took a small bit of a knock when True Love was beaten last time, but True Love's had a very good campaign. I just had that bit of a proviso that he was beaten by a filly at Deauville. That's disappointing for me. So I'm going with Saba Desert here, whose trainer Charlie Appleby has a stupendous record in this race. Beat Italy last time, who reopposed. And he was the weaker of the two Godolphin horse in the betting that day, the other one being Wild Desert. Moreover, he was very, very sloppy out of the stalls at Newmarket, but he was good. He was a messy race, and I thought he did a lot right in the race, considering he was just coming out of winning a bit of an egg and spoon maiden. He's loads of potential, this horse, and in a 6-runner race, you might be getting 5-1, 9-2 at the moment. You might be getting bigger than that. He's a really intriguing runner for me.
The plan with him is to look at the Dewhurst and then go backwards. So therefore, they must think he's a potential Guineas horse. He did look to his left at Newmarket.
He did look to his left. It was a messy race. And in fairness, Italy was slightly inconvenienced as well. But these were horses. A lot of them are only having their second start. You'll get a bit of that. It's a long way from going to winning kind of easily in a maiden first time out at Sandown to then a month later coming into a proper Group 2 on good to firm ground. You know, there was a big crowd there that day. These horses are developing. And I thought he stamped his class on it. And it's a price thing for me. Like, he's way, way bigger than Gestad, who I'm not really sure has achieved an awful lot more.
What about the Zavateri horse? Look, there's one Group 2 races at Newmarket and Goodwood for a small yard, and vis-a-vis the big guns, hard to win again, but entitled to take his chance.
Absolutely. Showed a good ask you the last day at Goodwood. That was a race, I suppose, in which maybe Dawson was a small bit disappointing, where he kind of figures in terms of the Aidan O'Brien two-year-olds. I'm not so sure, but this horse is on the up. Hasn't run on easy ground so far. I don't think that'll be a problem for him as well, and he's definitely worth his chance, and the Raiders have a good record in this, as you would imagine.
The Flying Five Stakes is a Group 1 for sprinters, a 5-furlong race, 3:15. The Australian horse, As4, is over. Look, first of all, it's great to see a horse coming from Australia, won the Nunthorpe at York, Group 1 last time out, and also won a Group 1 at Royal Ascot last year. So is it hers to lose?
It could be, yeah. Aussie sprinters generally have an edge over British ones, let alone Irish ones. We don't have, neither Britain nor Ireland has much going on in the sprint division at the moment. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to give Whistle Jacket one more chance.
Yes! We agree.
No. Another horse with headgear on. Blinkers, which you can see. Who knows what happened at Newmarket? Desperately disappointing behind no half measures. But I go back to that run at Ascot where I thought he was very eye-catching. All his wins have come with the knees and the ground. He's tricky, but he is trained by Aidan O'Brien, and he's a double-figure price. Christoph Soumillon just might be the key to him. I'm giving him one more chance. One more chance.
The horse I picked out was Whistle Jacket. I think he got to get the break, but he's a course and distance winner. He had a lot of speed in his earlier career as a two-year-old, and I completely agree with you. I think he's worth, as you say, forgiving, and he's definitely got an each-way chance. An Aidan O'Brien horse with the top jockey on for the weekend on double-figure price, Whistle Jacket, folks. You can't be discounting that one. So we're going to try and bring in Sam Norris from William Hill in a moment. Before we do, Johnny, we have to congratulate you because the charity bet came up last time. You were on Geordie Bear, 6-1 winner at the Curra on your last appearance on the show. So you had a lot of confidence in this horse beforehand. So that was an interesting thing for you to see. Why did you have all the confidence in it?
Yeah, I thought it was a nursery in which not that many had much upside, and he had, and a good old Fozzie Stack sort of few quid for it on the show, and actually won well in the end under Joey Sheridan. So yeah, good to go into this weekend in good form. Shorter price this weekend, but hopefully we continue the good form.
There's no real talking points around this Champions Festival. Look, we're hoping, I mean, the weather has to cooperate, but we're hoping for some good crowds.
Yeah, and Soumillon coming over is a big one. Like, I think, to be fair, the racing is good. Like, the Champion Stakes, we could have Ombudsman, but, I mean, it's weather-dependent. But this is the weekend where there are no excuses for the Curragh Leopardstown getting people to this. If we can't get people to this, to these meetings, we're in big trouble for the flat.
Yeah, okay. So anything else you're noticing on the shoulder races? Because we've only just done the Group 1s. Is there anything you're noticing, any handicaps, Group 2s, Group 3s?
This is the most beautiful ending to the whole weekend. Crown of Oaks in the last race, another Wooden Basset, but a Willie Haggis handicap, absolute blot, running from stall 5, taking on 22 rivals in the finale. That's a 1.2 handicap. The Northfields, 88.5 grand for the winner. Horse who was quite high entered up, ridden by Kieran Fallon Jr., won at Ascot last weekend on soft ground off a mark of 85 doing handstands, comes in here under the obligatory penalty. And this is the one where the bookies are like really, really imploring you to back each way against this horse, but looks to have plenty in hand, more so than Anthony else in the race. You're obviously thinking that there will likely be one horse will emerge from the pack to do him, but he's very, very hard to oppose. And it's a cracking punting weekend, the punting conclusion to the weekend.
It's 5:35 at the Curragh on Sunday, the 1 mile 2 furlong at Northfields handicap. This is amazing. Over 20 runners, you got a 15-8 shot, and the next horse is 10-1. If you say to yourself, you know what, Crown of Oaks is not going to do it, you really have a good each way bet then in the race, don't you?
100%. And just looking at this early stage now, William Hill.
Sujet's in there, Sujet, Dermot Wells.
Yes, Sujet's definitely interesting. And
Jagged Edge, that horse won the, was it the Cambridgeshire?
Jagged Edge, who comes back after beating Genuine Article in the Cambridgeshire, beats a short head. And Jagged Edge was a surprise winner, but looked kind of very interesting earlier on in his career. He's only a 3-year-old. State Actor was a big plunge that day as well. He reopposes. I'm just not sure they're that many with much in hand. Now, the problem is for a lot of punters, you know, you don't want to back a handicap horse around 7-4 in a 22, 23 runner race, but sometimes if it's too obvious, it actually is just quite obvious.
Yeah. I haven't really seen anything like this before. You have a horse that's just so short. I'm just going through the other races at Leopardstown and Doncaster on Saturday. So Johnny Murcher was in with last week. He did a great piece, Johnny. But he does like this Adakazi. It's a second favourite for the Solon Away Stakes. This is the Group 2 at 4:55 on Saturday. Ben Cohen riding. Skukuza will be the favourite. Ed Dunlop coming over with Chris Hayes. I mean, once again, you got to respect the English Raiders.
Yeah, this is an intriguing little race as well. And, you know, the likes of Comanche Brave for Dunacore Bryan, he beat Brave the last time in the manner of a horse who probably would be improving against. Scardy Champ is a horse I tipped on this card last year. It's fair to say he hasn't done an awful lot since. But maybe the run of Song Clue last time hinted that he was coming back to form, and he does seem to come alive this weekend. Alakazi, he's a really intriguing horse. You know, he's been involved in some dramatic races this year as well. Obviously, at the Curragh, he kind of hung the last couple of visits to the Curragh behind Johan the last year. I didn't feel he did a lot wrong. He looked brilliant at Leopardstown when he won his maiden early in the season. Absolutely brilliant, an intriguing runner and an intriguing race.
Okay, Johnny, it's time for your charity bet here on the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. And what are you going for this weekend? You had a win last time at 6-1. So are you going to go 25 each way, Johnny, or are you going to go 50 on the nose?
Composing, it's all about the composure of beauty, and it is composing around about the 13-8 mark. So sorry I have to run to head off to Ballinrobe, but this is a cracking weekend to get to the Curragh Leopardstown. Composing to keep up my good run, and namely I tipped my last winner in the Moygler on Sunday.
Okay, Johnny Ward's charity bet composing in the 2:40, the Moygler Stud Stakes composing, trained by Aidan O'Brien, to be ridden by Christoph Soumillon. Thanks, Johnny.
Cheers, Eddie.
Let's bring in Sam Norris from William Hill. How are you, Sam?
Hi, John. Yeah, I'm very good. Thanks. Yourself?
Not bad, thank you. What's attracting the most money then this weekend?
Yeah, well, I mean, a wonderful weekend. Obviously, both sides of the Irish Sea doesn't quite get the same kind of luster this weekend as sort of the Goodwood Galway doubleheader does. But yeah, this is an absolute belter. Looking forward to it. The big race in Ireland Saturday, we've kind of pushed our chest out a little bit with Delacroix. We were 5-4 earlier on in the week, pushed him out to 7-4. We're kind of happy to get Delacroix in the book. We've not exactly been kind of knocked over at that price. So that's interesting. I think Anne Martin, the race at 7-2. Maybe punters latching on to the Chris Hayes factor. You know, he knows that track better than Christoph Soumillon will, better than the Japanese rider will. So that could be an angle. Landmark's 4-1 into 130, but despite being top priced, Delacroix, not an enormous amount of love for him in the betting at the moment. Some of the other group ones that we've got coming up, we're keen to try and take Asfora on from store one in the Flying Five. You're always hopeful as a layer you can get a result in the sprints given the nature of the division. Guacanero, Fuerte and Art Power are the two that we'd laid in that race first and fourth last time around. Art Power's often taken his first run of the season to come to hand, so he could get a bit closer to Wagner or Fuerte in that one. But yeah, more than happy to take on the Australian mare at the top of the betting. The Irish Ledger, the money came for Al Riffer midweek when our 15-8 from 5-2 for him. It appeared to be that Plenty knew the direction that he was heading in. Amilot could be interesting in that race as well. A three-year-old obviously can't run in the English Ledger due to being a gelding, but can go in Ireland. He gets weight from his rivals. So we respect the Raider in that one. He is 11-4. But obviously a wonderful week of racing. I'll throw one more into the mix as well that's not in a group one, actually. Saturday's 3:50 at Leopardstown. Trust Your Instinct, who won the race last year, back to do it again. He had an entry in the Irish Ledger. I think he's moved on from being a group three horse this. I think he's better than this grade. I'm not the only one who thinks that. He's 5-1 from 13-2. So Trust Your Instinct in the JP colours for a race that, you know, he won a year ago. I think he's a better horse this time around. I think he would have had a chance had he taken up that Irish Ledger entry. So he could be interested in the 350, particularly if he, you know, sticks around at this kind of each way price.
What about the English St. Ledger at Doncaster on Saturday? What, 3:40 the post time? You've got Scandinavia and Illinois has gone to Ireland, was second in the last year. So Scandinavia and Lanbourne seem to be the top two for Aidan O'Brien.
Yeah, obviously triple-handed Aidan O'Brien trying to win this for a third year in succession. Sean Levy, who rode the winner for Aidan last year on Jan Brugel, I gather has had first pick in the race. He goes for Lanbourne, who unquestionably has the best form on paper. I mean, he's a dual Derby winner. When you have the first choice, it's hard to turn down a horse like that. But Scandinavia is the market leader at 6-4. Unlucky in the Queen's Vase earlier on in the season, has won his next two since then. And Stay True obviously would be a fantastic story. In a way, the final Galileo crop running in a classic, I think, this weekend. Obviously, no horse in this generation has done more for the thoroughbred breed. So Plenty would like to see a son of Galileo get the job done. He's no forlorn hope under Mikel Barcelona. I do like Karmas, though. Obviously, beat Scandinavia in the Queen's Vase earlier on in the year. It's clear that the trip caught him out in the Voltage last time around. He was running through the line over a mile four, back up to this kind of distance, shorter suit. You know, Paddy Toomey, an excellent trainer. Billy Lee, a really good go-to jockey for the big day. So I think Karmas at 5-1 is maybe the way to play that. The Ledger market has not been that warm, it's got to be said, with, you know, the Aidan horses just kind of where they are in the betting, and we're fairly happy with them.
But the Moigler Stud Stakes, Johnny Ward's charity bet before he went off air was Composing, Sam. So are you seeing Composing getting a lot of support?
Yeah, you've got, it's fairly tight between the first two in the betting, isn't it, in the Moigler, between Composing, who we make 13-8, and Venetian Sun at the moment at 6-4. We've seen a decent spread of the cash kind of between the two of them. I personally was of the opinion Venetian Sun might be able to get a result over Composing. I know, you know, she's the Raider. She's got to travel over. She's already been to Dovey and won, though. She beat Gustad. Obviously runs in the National Stakes on Sunday as well. But I was very impressed with this horse at Ascot, Newmarket and Dovey, actually, Venetian Sun. So Carl Burke's already had a great week in a double at Doncaster on Thursday. I think that might be one that we potentially bring back to the UK and take a prize off your hands, hopefully, because I'm going against Johnny in that one. I think Venetian Sun can beat Composing. Very little between them in the betting, and similar kind of interest in both horses for the punters.
We're talking about the fillies race, then the Matron Stakes on Saturday at Leopardstown at Group 1. Fallen Angels won an Irish Guineas before. Sir Chain won an Ascot. And you got January in there as well, has been hitting the crossbars. So how do you size this up from a price perspective?
Yeah, we've kind of got to have Fallen Angel over January. Obviously, they clashed last time around in the pre-Rothschild. Fallen Angel came out and won, you know, performed travelling over to Ireland as well. Obviously, took the 1,000 guineas in Ireland last year. So we have to have them that way around. 2-1 Fallen Angel, 11-4 for January. Sasena seen a little bit of interest the next thing. Obviously, popped up at an enormous price in the Coronation Stakes. And to prove that run was no fluke. And I think she proved that last time around behind Whirl in the Nassau. no disgrace in being beaten by that rival. You're not going to get the prices you've seen on Sosen in the previous two starts, 7-2 today, but that is one that we've kind of taken a point, half a point off in that race, where a lot of the build-up, as you say, is going to be about the rematch between Fallen Angel in January, but Sosen could be a bit of a fly in the ointment for that pair.
Any horse attracting money at like a big price, a 33-1, 20-1 shot at all?
We haven't seen Suede, I don't think, for the handicaps, anything in that kind of price bracket through the course of the weekend. In fact, no, I said lie, there is one. The 225 at Doncaster on Saturday, Roman Dragon, 18-1 from 33-1. So still very much a big price, but, you know, backing an 18-1 winner punter is still probably be quite happy with that. And obviously with Each Way Extra now here at William Hill, any race with four or more runners in the UK and Ireland, you can play in the extra market, so you can take, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, sometimes even 7 places each way. You don't have to wait for us to give you an extra place race with Each Way Extra. The choice is yours, and you only need 4 runners to trigger that market. So you could play Roman Dragon in a variety of ways if punters wanted to do that. But yeah, that is one that has shifted at a big price. 225 Doncaster, 33s into 18s Roman Dragon.
And interesting with him is, because I remember watching him win at Chester in May, and it was a big thing for the television, because Michael Owen is involved in that horse, number 3, Roman Dragon at Doncaster on Saturday. So the Michael Owen connections, Sam, the 225.
Yeah, very much so. You know, it's a great thing for the, you know, the sport of racing, isn't it? Where you can get a celebrity owner doing well in front of the camera. I mean, he's much more than an owner. Obviously, you know, he owns a yard, doesn't he? He's, you know, pumped an enormous amount of cash into the game. And probably hasn't had a superstar kind of horse since Brown Panther, really. So, yeah, it'd be nice to see a big name get some TV exposure on a nationally televised race come Saturday. It's always a hard race, the Portland. But, yeah, interesting they've come for Roman Dragon in that race. Diablo Rojo was the other one in the Portland. Debutant for Kevin Phillip, Art Defoy. He's got a number of horses in the Ammo colours that are making a stable debut for him this weekend. So, big weekend for that yard as well. It's an operation you like to have in the yard, obviously, given the firepower they've got.
So Johnny's pick for the weekend, Sam is composing. Do you have one horse to follow for the weekend for us?
Trust Your Instinct, who I mentioned early on. I know that the cash has come. That's a bit of a market mover now, but I really think he's going to be too good for his opponents in the 350 at Leopardstown on Saturday. I think they should have rolled the dice and gone to the Irish St. Ledger. I'm surprised they didn't, but he should be too classy for this field, in my opinion, as he was 12 months ago.
Great stuff, Sam Norris. Thanks so much. Speak soon.
Thanks, Sean.
Sam Norris there from William Hill on episode 93, The Racing Pod. Folks, enjoy the Champions Festival. We'll be back next week. We look forward to having your company then.
The Racing Pod.
On Off The Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.